Today the church celebrates the exaltation of the Holy Cross. This is one of those feast days that actually falls always on September 14th. We only get to celebrate on Sundays when the 14th of September falls on a Sunday. It's a beautiful feast day. It actually harkens all the way back to finding the Holy Cross in the 300s. Jesus obviously died closer to about 33 AD, and the cross was lost at the time. He thought it was just a guy who died, and not a lot of time to try and grab such things. But in the 300s, Constantine legalized Christianity, made it not only legal, but then he made it the state religion. And then he encouraged his mother to go visit Palestine on a pilgrimage. I don't know what you have to do for your mother to drive you so crazy that you want to invite her to travel as far away from as possible to the single most dangerous part of the empire. But he did that. He invited his mother, St. Helen, to go visit Palestine, and go visit Jerusalem. When she got there, she was met by an archbishop who traveled with her when she went to the various holy sites, went to Jerusalem and Bethlehem and all of the beautiful holy sites. Arriving, she discovered that in the 300 years since the time of Christ, they had tried to kind of desecrate some of these holy sites. The temple, or the nativity, the place where in Bethlehem where Jesus would have been born, had been turned into a temple dedicated to Jupiter. On Golgotha, the hill where Christ died, they had erected an enormous statue to Venus. Even the place of the sepulcher, the place where Jesus was laid to rest for 3 days, had been turned into a temple to another god. It had so many desecrations. And so St. Helen had them all torn down and built churches in each of them. What she was really hopeful for, she went to the Calvary, and they started digging in the hopes that the cross would still be there. It was entirely possible. And they found not one, but 3 crosses. It was pretty incredible. Unsure which might be the actual cross, they were trying to get a sign. Eventually, the archbishop had an idea. They went to a very sick woman in the community. She was so ill she could barely get up from her bed, and they brought the crosses to her, and she laid her hand on the first cross, and nothing happened, and the second cross, and nothing happened. She laid her hand on the third cross, and immediately she felt better, so much so that she got up, she got out of bed, she was immediately aware of her surroundings. She wasn't even aware of what was going on before that. She was so very ill and not expected to recover. So they rejoiced in finding the true cross. It was this a great and holy moment. Unfortunately, just 75 years later, the Persians came in and reconquered Jerusalem and took it away from the empire, which was unfortunate. But in the 600s, on the 14th of September, they retook Jerusalem and they reclaimed the Holy Cross and moved it to Rome in case they lost Jerusalem again, which, surprise, surprise, did happen later. But on the 14th of September, they refound the Holy Cross, and we celebrated ever since then the exaltation of the Holy Cross. St. Patrick's Parish is very blessed. We actually have a relic of the true cross. It's in the office. It's been in the office all week. And if you ask Molly, she's so excited about it. If you ask Molly, she'll get so excited. She'll show you and tell you everything she knows about it. So that's very exciting to celebrate that and to have that as a parish. It's interesting to me to reflect on the exaltation of the cross, to really reflect and to pray about this. This is one of those great contradictions in the Christian faith. This is one of those great oddities if you think about it. Because in so many ways, the cross was the symbol of the Roman Empire for fear. This was the implement of public execution. This is what they used to keep people frightened and in check. They used to leave crosses standing even after they had executed some criminal by means of capital punishment, just to remind the people that this was their oppression. This was the Roman Empire keeping control. In so many curious ways, this was an authoritarian symbol to represent that they were in control. It was the means of capital punishment. If you consider it today, for us to glory in the cross, a modern translation, that would be for us to revel in the electric chair. You know, it's that kind of bizarre to think about this means of execution as somehow something great. And yet that's exactly what it is. It is that great sign of contradiction. It is that great curiosity of the cross that we celebrate. Because while it was for so long that symbol of death, that symbol of control, that symbol of oppression, in the truest form of a twist, Christ takes that cross and he turns it into the symbol of our victory. It marks us as that means by which we are actually brought to God, where we conquer sin and death, where we overcome oppression and fear and a totalitarianism. Because we actually have a chance to know God. We have this genuine freedom that we can actually grow in our relationship with Christ in a way that we have never had an opportunity before. And so we celebrate this exaltation of the cross, and it's a striking moment for us in so many ways. Because it is a very clear reminder to us that our lives are not going to be without suffering. They're not going to be without difficulty. Quite the opposite. It's in those struggles. It's in that frustration. It's in that difficulty that we truly have opportunities to come to know God in profound and incredible ways. Think about the first reading. We have this reading in the book of Numbers. Moses is in the desert with the people. And here we have the people, and what do? Are they crying out to God because they're in need for something? Are they crying out to God because they're in bondage or enslaved or in some way denied some way to worship God? It's none of those things. They cry out to God because they're bored with their food. It's like the teenager who opens the fridge after shopping day and says, "There's nothing to eat." The short answer is, "There's nothing I want to eat right this moment." And so we're bored with this food. I mean, sure, it lands in the camp, and we don't really have to work to catch it, and it's right there in front of us, but it's the same thing every day. It's so boring. And so they complain against God because they've become complacent, because they've become indifferent to the gifts in front of them. They've received so many incredible things from God, and yet, because it's been a while, you know, more than 24 hours, they become casual about it. Like, whatever, it's boring. And so they complain against God, and he sends the serpents, and the serpents come through, and they bite the people, and the people die. And they beg Moses, they said, "Okay, we understand, we screwed up, we didn't see the gifts in front of us, send the serpents away, take us away from these." And here's the thing I find most fascinating. God doesn't take away the serpents. At no time does he actually remove the serpents from their midst. Instead, what does he do? He says to Moses, he says, "Make a bronze serpent and put it on wood, mount it on a pole. And anyone who is bit by the serpent," because it will happen, because the serpents are still there, "they look upon the bronze serpent and they will recover." They take this symbol of pain and suffering and it can become something that frees them. I think it's such a fascinating reminder to us in our lives that we are sent difficulties within our lives. We're sent challenges, various challenges to each of us, whether we're struggling with our neighbors or our friends or our family or just that person down the street that drives us crazy or that parish priest that just won't give it up, you know, whoever it is, you know, they're driving us crazy. It's a constant state of frustration. We might pray for God to take that person away from us, to take that difficulty away from us, to take that suffering away from us. And the truth of the matter is that more often than not, that's not how it works. God doesn't take the suffering away. He gives us the gifts so that we can endure despite the suffering, so that we can thrive and grow in spite of our difficulty, whether it's family or friends or neighbor or whatever that hardship may be. And that in that struggle, we actually come closer to God. We have an opportunity to know Him better in a far more profound and beautiful way. It's that simple reality that as we celebrate this exaltation of the cross, what we have here is a reminder that despite the challenges of our lives, God continues to pour out His gifts upon us so that we can grow closer to Him. And here's your challenge. As you go out this week, see the gifts that God has given you. See the graces God sends you to help you in those difficult times, in those moments of need, and thank God for those gifts. I leave you with one final thought. This past week, a man in our parish died. For the last 20 years of his life, he had a stroke 20 years ago. For the last 20 years of his life, he really couldn't speak. He really was limited in his function. The stroke had taken away some of his mobility and gifts that we take for granted. And yet, despite that, even in his suffering, he was able to see his family grow up. He was able to get to know his family and witness all of those things. And, even if we don't think about it, was able to pray for his family on a near constant level. Because the reality is that is what he was still capable of. And in that suffering, He was not only giving great gifts himself, not only being able to see his family grow up and thrive, but in so many ways, get to look after his family with his own prayer. Never underestimate that our suffering does not always have to be a bad thing, but truly, in some bizarre way, a gift from God and our chances to grow closer to him.